The deadline for the United Kingdom to leave the EU is in 2 months, and there is still no consensus on exactly how to make that happen. Prime Minister Theresa May has proposed her plan. Today, lawmakers will vote on amendments to her proposal. For more, we go to NPR's Frank Langfitt in London. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Rachel.
So we have been following this, as our listeners will know, for many, many months.
We have.
Is today the day that British parliamentarians finally settle on how the UK is going to leave?
Rachel, I would not go that far. However, what I would say is we could get a much clearer picture by the end of tonight what things look like. Basically, what they're trying to do here is take control of the process after Prime Minister May's bill went down and try to figure out where we go from here. Two big amendments to watch. One is designed to force the Prime Minister to ask the European Union to delay Brexit if she can't get this deal that failed badly earlier through Parliament by the 26th of February. The Prime Minister is backing a different amendment, and this one would provide support for her bill, but only if they can find an alternative to the UK remaining in a customs arrangement with the EU, and that's, of course, to try to avoid having a hard border on the island of Ireland. Mm-hmm. So those are the two big ones to watch tonight.
All right. So, as you just said, the First Amendment asks for an extension of the whole process for Brexit.
Yeah.
The other one tries to remove the Irish challenge. What is the impact if either of these amendments pass the House of Commons today?
Well, if the first one passes and you get a possible, it leads towards a potential delay, it'd be a significant victory for people who don't want to stay in the European Union or want a closer relationship with the EU. The other amendment, if that passed, it would allow May to actually go back to Brussels and say, look, I have support for my Brexit deal, but you got to work with me. You got to make concessions on the Irish border to help me get it through Parliament back in London.
Right.
But that amendment's chances of passage are not looking so good at the moment. There's a sign, basically in a sign of how incredibly divided Parliament is here. There's some Brexiteers, they say they won't support it because it's not legally binding. So one of the great challenges she faces is how does she get enough people here to support something that the EU will support back in Brussels?
Mm-hmm. All right. A pivotal figure in today's events is a guy named John Bercow. He is the Speaker of the House of Commons. You've been doing some reporting on him. What can you tell us?
He's a very divisive figure. He's humorous, pugnacious, and loud. Listeners may recognize what sounds like a foghorn voice that he has. And that's where I begin my report.
Order! Order! Order!
Today he plays a pivotal role. He'll choose which amendments Parliament will vote on, which could shape the path of Brexit. He spends much of his time trying to maintain order as members battle over the biggest issue the United Kingdom has faced in decades. Bercow is known for his lighthearted put-downs and a penchant for polysyllabic words. Here are some of his more memorable lines as he's tried to calm the House of Commons' famously boisterous proceedings.
Mr. Angus Brendan McNeill, calm yourself. You may be a cheeky chappy, but you're also an exceptionally noisy one. Get a grip of yourself, man. Come, take up yoga, you'll find it beneficial, man. Order! You really are a very over-excitable individual. You need to write out 1,000 times, I will behave myself at Prime Minister's questions.
To learn more about Bercow, I went to see his biographer.
Hi. Hi, Bobby. I'm Frank.
Hey, great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Bobby Friedman is a barrister. That's an attorney who works in the higher courts. Friedman's the author of Bercow, Mr. Speaker, Rowdy Living in the Tory Party. While Bercow may sound to Americans like a quintessential British character, Friedman says his style of speech is actually an affectation.
It's incredibly old-fashioned. As one person said to me, it's like he swallowed a dictionary and then he spits it out again every time he speaks. And he will never use two words if he can use 1,000.
Bercow grew up in North London, the son of a cab driver. Friedman thinks the future speaker, who stands about 5'6", developed his gift of gab as a defense mechanism.
He was bullied at school. He was relatively unpopular, but he was more intelligent than most of his bullies. And so he used the fact that he could speak and could do it better than others as a way of fighting back against them.
While many who watch Parliament find Bercow entertaining, he is controversial. For instance, Bercow has faced bullying accusations himself. Vicky Ford, a member of Parliament, said she'd been a target.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have heard the words stupid woman being used in this chamber about myself, and I'm afraid to say I've heard it from yourself in the Speaker's chair. So, Mr. Speaker, please can we have an apology, draw a line against this and move on?
Burko denied it.
I say with absolute certainty it is not correct. I have not said that to or about the Honourable Lady.
A recent inquiry into bullying in the House of Commons found a lack of support for victims and a culture that tried to cover it up. Burko is what the British call a Marmite character, like the yeasty spread some here put on toast, either like him or loathe him. Again, his biographer, Bobby Friedman.
He's someone who has always rubbed people up the wrong way, while simultaneously having a lot of supporters. But he does fall out with people very easily. He sometimes overspeaks. He's too critical.
And more recently, has become the target of tough political criticism. Brexiteers have complained that Burko, who's supposed to remain neutral as Speaker, tore up Commons rules to try to help lawmakers who favor staying in the European Union. Adam Holloway, a fellow Conservative Party MP, confronted Burko earlier this month in the House of Commons.
We've all noticed in recent months a sticker in your car making derogatory comments about Brexit. No, this is a serious point about partiality.
Burko's acknowledged voting against Brexit, but he said Holloway had it wrong. The sticker wasn't on his car, but his wife's.
And I'm sure the Honourable Gentleman wouldn't suggest for one moment that a wife is somehow the property or chattel of her husband.
What a fascinating character, Frank Langford. And he's going to be at the center of the Brexit events today?
He will. He's going to choose the amendments, and that could have a huge influence on where everything heads next. So people will be watching him very carefully and to see which amendments he chooses and which ones pass.
NPR's Frank Langford. Thanks so much, Frank. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Rachel.